Welcome to the Modern Masculinity Podcast, where we delve into the depths of what it means to be a man in today's world, and we explore the real-life challenges and triumphs that you and I face every single day. My name is Hector Santi Esteban, and I come with no answers, only questions for some of the most wise, insightful, and grounded men that I know. So get settled in. You're listening to Modern Masculinity. Fellas, what's going on? I hope this episode finds you well. And I've got a good feeling today's episode is going to leave you in a better place than when it found you. Today's episode is with Coach Raf, and he's a guy I connected with online. And the biggest thing that stood out to me is that he was thinking a little bit differently and talking to guys in a way that a lot of guys aren't being spoken to, in the way that there is so much of this alpha male, beta, whatever. I mean, there's so many people who will tell you how to be a better man or in relationship or whatever it is. And it's rare that I see someone put it all together and have a very complete view of these things. And Coach Raf is one of them. And we talk about relationships and why they're hard and what to do and how to pull yourself out of some of the shit that you find yourself in. And it was timely for me. And I'm hoping that this episode is timely for you as well. But enough of me, y'all. Let's get into today's episode with Coach Raf.
Welcome to the Modern Masculinity Podcast, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful to be in your presence, guys.
Well, yeah, I think our fellows are going to really benefit from today's conversation. We open the conversations with what sort of challenge is real for the guest. You know, we could talk about, you've got an incredible Instagram page. You know, you're putting out a tons of great content. I think you're starting to put out some courses and community, like all these great things that you're doing for guys out there. But if I've learned anything, I've also learned that the work doesn't ever really end. The challenges, the beasts just change shape and evolve and maybe get bigger or however it may be. So take us into your world. What sort of things as a man are you still wrestling with or challenged with, even like on a day-to-day sort of recent basis?
Yeah, so for sure, for me as a man, I don't ever want to come across as this perfect man, this man that knows it all. My goal is to create a platform and a space for men that I wish I had when I was going through my own personal pains and my own personal struggles when it came to relationships. And if any of the guys who are in my community and guys who I coach, and I'm pretty sure the first thing they'll tell you is that Raf is very authentic and genuine, because I'm not sitting on here trying to be on a high pedestal. As a man, we all go through pains. We all go through things. And for me as a man, I do my best to teach on what I know and what I personally have went through and how I accomplished or how I got through it. One thing for me for sure, and what's really sparked my mission to have this purpose of helping men become better leaders and also have a space to be able to talk about the problems that, you know, most men don't tend to pick up themselves, you know, is I went through a divorce about 4 years ago. With that divorce, it could have went one of two ways. So the first way could have went with the now red pill, which I believe is poisonous too as well for young men, but it could have went that way. And it could have went to the way where I became, very cold, very closed off. I do not want to be, you know, in a relationship anymore. I don't want to even have that thought of getting married or, you know, getting close to a woman again, because it's so hurt. I'm so broken. I'm so, you know, let down. And I could have blamed women. Could have said women are broken now. Women aren't the same. And I could have chosen that route. And I felt like at one point that was where I was heading down. It started off with me looking at a lot of these red pill influencers pages. And it's definitely almost like eye candy and ear candy, because they're talking to the problem. They're hitting you with the problems that we're facing. And then it's almost like a logical solution. If they don't want you, well, then we don't want them. If they hit you with this, then we hit you with that. And it's almost like we're not taking accountability for ourselves. But it felt right. You know, it felt like they understood me, right? If I understood my pain. Good thing for me, I was raised in a Christian background, and I was able to understand after a while that these things were not aligning with actually my values, my core values that I had, even before my divorce. And it was with that I realized that there had to be some other option. I was raised in a family where my mother taught me to be the nice guy. And I was blessed. I was blessed to have a two-family household. My father and mother were both in my lives. But in my situation, my father was more of a passive man. And my mother was more of the, you know, the type A go-getter, tough love. And so a lot of men don't realize that even though you may have, a father in your house or in your life, if he is not demonstrating the active masculine tendencies to really raise you up and show you how to be a man, it's almost equivalent as though he's not there as well in life to kind of raise you and from a boy to a man. So that was my situation, and I had to figure out on my own through some hard lessons, and divorce was one of them. I could have been to the place where I could have blamed my ex-wife for, you know, the problems that was there. And there were a lot of problems and things that I can even say is not my fault. But as a man, what I try to tell other men is that even though it's not your fault, the problem is still your problem to solve. For me, that's where I looked at it after a while. I said, how can I solve this problem so that it can't happen again? Or I can at least limit it from happening again and do my best to try to find the right avenues. So that's where my trouble is as a man, to try to push past those obstacles and tell other men that, listen, look, we have to start taking accountability for our actions and taking accountability for where we are as men, because we're leaders and women follow wherever the man leads. And if we are leading incorrectly, we're going to lead them and ourselves right down the whole wrong path. And we can't blame anybody but ourselves at this point. And that's where my head is at when it comes to leading and pushing myself, even in this day and age as a man.
Raph, you echo my situation to a T, pretty much, where two-parent household, mom is, she ran the house. You know, yeah, she wore the pants, essentially. And my dad was present, coach, baseball coach. He was there. As I'm realizing, though, is exactly what you said. And I love him to death. He did what he knew how to do, and he did what he knew what was best. And so all that to say, like, I love him. He's a great dad. But what I had to go through as well was realizing that I was not demonstrating the leadership that a man needs to demonstrate for their family. I was waiting for my wife to do the things because that's what I saw. I saw my mom pay all the bills. I saw my mom make everything. Like, you know, my mom did the social calendar. My mom, because to her credit, they never got the chance to do that. She came up, you know, she was born in the 60s. And so she came up right in the women's movement and worked that thing to a T. She ran her job. Like, she was in a secretary-ish role, but she was still calling shots and she was still pulling strings behind the scenes. And she was a huge influence. And so, like, all that to say that I'm here thinking, this is what a man does. This is how a man acts.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the wrong script. I'm putting in this script, or I'm putting in this input thinking that this is going to lead to happiness. This is going to lead to success, whatever it is. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Very true. Yeah, everything you're saying, it sounds like we have very similar lives that we lived. And I like how you also highlighted that we still love our fathers, you know, because at the end of the day is that they did the best that they can do with what they had from their own lives and what they were taught and maybe what they did not have. And in my case, my father, great man, you know, I mean, my father's actually a reverend too as well. He's a pastor. He's a man that other men draw to because of his loving, giving spirit. But at the same time, it was hard because he never had that father in his life to be able to kind of show him how to actually lead and handle a relationship. My family is what I call a matriarch family, right? So their family, my family, you know, is really ran when it comes to the strong type A woman that's able to kind of take care of things in the home. That's how I was raised. I was able to see that and say, okay, this is what I want. Things that I thought were just normal. We heard cliches like happy wife, happy life, and, you know, whatever she wants, she gets, and things like that, you know, it sound normal. And I try to tackle every single problem with trying to throw back, you know, love and throw back flowers and throw back a piece to the situation instead of me just standing firm on my ground and even on my values and saying, you know what, I don't agree with that and we're not going that way. If we go that way, we're going down the wrong path. But I was taught and even raised to just say, you know, whatever the woman wants, she kind of gets. And that mentality rocked me in this generation. It was a deep cut. But as men, we go through things, you know, we go through things and we bounce back and we have two options. Are we going to sink or are we going to swim? And I chose to take that as an opportunity to learn my lessons and then be able to give back to men and help them who may have been going through the same problems that I've been going through.
Yeah. Yeah. This happy wife, happy life thing, it was ingrained in me. I was having another conversation, another recording earlier today, and what I realized is that I was optimizing for lack of conflict. In my decision-making, that was what I was trying to do, was trying to make the decision that would remove as much conflict as possible to keep happy. And the challenge with the lack of conflict, also right behind it, starts to come the lack of polarity. And the polarity in our relationship had just totally diminished. And I've talked about it. My wife, she's an ass kicker. She's a badass. She's very career oriented. Like, she crushes it on a lot of these masculine driven things. And so in not pointing the finger, I deferred a lot of that leadership to her. And also because like, that's what she said she wanted. Because that's why, who says that they want to be controlled? Who says that they want to be someone to make decisions for them? That's not, but everybody wants to be led, or that's actually what they need, or actually what they want underneath it. And if we abdicate that, or at least what I've realized, when I abdicated it, that's what led to the challenges in the relationship, is because I was not doing my part. And part of the problem, which I think is what we're talking about, is that I didn't even know that that was my part.
Right. That's the big problem that we're facing right now, is that most men don't even realize that what's the problem here, because we're now living in a generation that believes that you have to cater to your wife's every single being and forget about yourself. And also on top of that as well, we're at a place where men, we're forgetting that our role is to actually understand that conflict comes as part of the package. For me, as a man, I actually now almost like enjoy conflict. I remember back in the past, I used to really hate, you know, I try to avoid it because that's how my father was. That's how I seen him do it. You know, I seen him try to say, okay, honey, whatever you got, whatever you want. And that would be his way to appease certain things. Now, I learned the way to actually learn how to actually enjoy conflict because, one, we're two different beings. We're going to actually, you know, have some disagreements. It's part of life. She may see things from one way, and I may see things from another way, and that's okay. We have two different perspectives. It's on you as a man to lead that conversation, to lead that disagreement down a path where she can be able to see or even articulate her perspective of why she sees it that way. And I can say, okay, well, I'm seeing this way. But at the end of the day, we should both know that we're not arguing or fighting against each other. We're trying to find the problem in the middle here between us and figure out how can we solve this problem together. But the main thing is that we both see things two different ways. So allowing her, along myself, to be able to articulate what we're seeing is crucial when it comes to conflicts for me.
Yeah. It also, another thing that I have to tell the guys who are out there, because there's got to be guys who are like, yeah, but. And it's like, for sure, there is the but, that it requires two. It requires an acknowledgement. And I think that that's also a challenge that a lot of guys are facing, is that a lot of women are not willing to acknowledge the, let's call it, value or need. Or clearest example is like, there's this song, and maybe you've heard it. It's like, it goes something to the effect of, I don't need a man, I need a puppy. And that sort of mindset where women feel like they don't need men, it's a mindset that doesn't allow the space for the two to thrive alongside. Right. And I also don't blame them, you know, for living in a patriarchy or living in a society that did restrict and limit them for so long, to all of a sudden flip the script. And now all of a sudden we're asking for them to be empathetic and compassionate and yada, yada, yada. So I see that too. But it's hard for modern relationships to thrive if there isn't that dual acknowledgement of each other's value.
Yeah. It's rough, brother, because like you said, it's both sides. We're both being impacted from both ends. Women have been given the rights and the freedoms to actually live and pretty much get almost the same rights that men had, which we know should have been a great thing. And it's supposed to be a good thing. But at this point, it almost pushed women into like an unnatural masculine role, where now they are now out there working and grinding and putting in, you know, these unnatural masculine hours and time, and it's breaking them down. So yes, are they getting the money? Are they getting, you know, the respect that they believe they're supposed to get? Absolutely, 100%. But at the same time, it's also killing the feminine inside of them as well. And it's making it hard for them to come back and actually, you know, accept that, hey, you know, a man is looking to lead, is looking to take over that role. You may be at work, that you have that role at work, but when you come back home, you know, I'm still the man that has to lead this relationship. And that's where the conflict is coming from. And on top of that too, as well, you know, I don't know how you feel about this one, but the whole 50-50 thing, you know, with men and women, when it comes to 50-50, you know, the man is almost like pushing his woman into like an unnatural masculine when I'm almost like taking 50-50 as like a requirement now. I understand, you know, life is hard right now, and inflation and bills and life is hitting. We got kids, you know, we got things going on. It's hard to have a one income household where one person's bringing in the money, because it's hard out there right now, for sure. But my problem is just, if a man is accepting to slack off and say, you know what, I'm going to work just one job, or I'm going to work just a couple of hours, and then put her into like a natural role to kind of work, you know, more hours than you, or pushing more hours, it's going to really impact her and make it hard for her to come back and say, you know, I want to be feminine and nurturing, because she's tired. She's burnt out. You know what I mean? It's hard for her to even give that energy when she's burnt out, you know? So I, as a man, I say, look, you know, we got to do what we got to do to kind of handle and take care and create a safe space for these women too as well. And I say for them, because for women, I believe that's what women are looking for. They're looking for that safety. It's natural, it's biological, it's in them, it's innate. They have to feel safe. And when I say feeling safe, it's not only like physical, like you're going to fight any guy that comes next to them, right, and tries to attack them. I'm talking about in every which way, emotionally. She has to feel emotionally safe with you, which comes along the lines of being emotionally intelligent, learning how to handle your emotions, and also understanding how her emotions are as well. Giving her the security and the safety when it comes to mental, to physical, to emotional, to sexual, to social. All these things, you know, women are looking for. And of course, the big one is financial too as well, right? This one, most guys think that, you know, if they have a lot of money, you know, she's gonna respect them. That's not entirely true. That is a piece of the puzzle, but it isn't the whole entire puzzle. So women look for safety in a man, and it's on you as a man to provide that safety for her so that she'll be able to actually naturally respect and naturally want to follow your lead too as well.
Yeah, the 50-50 thing is huge because it requires a man to be willing to go into that conflict, though.
Correct.
Because women are going to say, no, I want to pay. No, I don't want to be a kept woman sort of thing. And that's not what we're saying. In my own relation, my own experience, it was, again, that abdication where it's like, okay, that's what you want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to you. Even though I know against my intuition, against who I am, against my core, we're going to go against that because this is what you want. Because that's what I've been told I should do, you know? Mm-hmm. And only for it to play out and months, years later, and be in a situation where it's like, well, this is what you asked for.
That's it right there. This is what you asked for, you know? And that's why a lot of times as men, we forgot how to lead. You know, a leader, sometimes you got to be a little stubborn. You know what I mean? You have to put your foot down and say, we're going this way because you see conflict arising. I think a lot of men, they try to misconstrue or they try to say like, all right, I don't want to shut my woman down. You don't have to. You're not supposed to. Your woman is your helpmate. You have her in your life to be able to see things that probably you aren't seeing. But at the end of the day, it's on you to make the decision to go where you believe as a man is going to guide your relationship and your woman down a safe path, right? And sometimes she may not agree. And then she may throw, you know, she may be angry, she may be upset, she may be sad. But at the end of the day, if she believes in you as a man, and that every decision you're making is to better the relationship and pushing us forward in the right direction, she can be sad, she can be upset, but she should trust that you are doing your best to push you guys forward and into a safe dumb direction, right?
Yeah, I'm reminded of early in our relationship. You know, and it's interesting how things change and how shift when I look back at, like, at the beginning of the relationship, I was making the plans. Here's where we're going. Here's where we're eating. Here's what we're doing. And then something happened along the way where that stopped happening. And it started being, well, where do you want to eat? What do you want to do? When can you hang out with me? When are you free? It was a total deferment because I had just lost that path. When I think about my story, like, everything had to get broken down.
Yeah.
Everything had to get broken down.
Mm-hmm. That's the scary part too, as men, because sometimes we have to hit that rock bottom. Sometimes you have to allow yourself to kind of go through that pain. And I look at that as in two sides. My goal is to try to hopefully prevent you from feeling that kind of pain. But at the same time, as men, we actually do a lot better when we go through pain, you know, because the pain shows us, teaches us, humbles us, and gives us a perspective that we wouldn't have never gotten if we didn't go through that pain. That's typically how a boy turns into a man. He has to go through some kind of fortitude, some kind of trial and tribulation so that he can be able to kind of burst through those walls and that adversity and come up on top, right? Sometimes people tell me and they look at me like, Raph, your divorce was insane. I don't know how you got through it. And they tell me like, oh, I'm sorry for you. And I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, don't be sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. I had to go through this because this pain that I went through has created this kind of man now that not only is a better man that I am saying for myself, but I'm also impacting other men's lives too as well and helping other men. And sometimes the stories and the pain that you go through as a man was probably for a reason to help other people as well. So everything for me happens for a reason under God. That's how I view it. So if you're going through pain, don't just stop. There's a reason you're going through it. Push through. You're going to be all right.
Yeah. And another thing about our generation, I was talking with Reggie Mara. He's a researcher who wrote a book that basically talked about, you know, how the coddling of men and it has created, you know, essentially all of the problems that we're seeing in society. And one of the things that kind of emerged from that conversation, though, was that, you know, men, and we're talking about 30-something-year-olds, 40-something-year-olds, younger 40s, they were really raised in a way that prevented them from experiencing any challenge, from experiencing any hardship. They didn't have the rites of passage. And so all of a sudden life hits them and they're not really ready to deal with it.
You know, I'm not sure if you heard that saying. I forgot who quoted this one, but it was somebody who said this and it was impactful to me. And they said, strong men, right? Strong men create easy times, right? And then easy times, you know, create, you know, weaker men. So we're at a place now right now where I believe times are so easy right now. Men don't have much tribulation, you know? There's no war. There's nothing for men to really, quote unquote, fight for. So we just have this easygoing time. And men are becoming weaker because there's no adversity. And then on top of that, you know, women are, they're raised and they haven't experienced or haven't seen, you know, the hell of the past in history, right? Of what men had to go through and how women had to operate to kind of play their part. Now, everything is just easy now, right? Everything is easy. Women are able to, you know, go online and do things like OnlyFans and make money off of weak men. And they think that the world is on easy, right? On easy mode. And it is right now. It is. Until something happens where it's going to now have to push weak men to get back and be strong again. We have no other choice but to step back up, but to face adversity, but to face the pains of life. And I believe men right now, we have to unfortunately create our own, you know, adversities now. We have to go towards conflict because we don't actually have any direct conflict right now. So we have to be willing to go into the fire, right? To run into being uncomfortable. We have to find areas and places in our lives that's going to say, you know what, it's going to test us, it's going to make us stronger. If we're just sitting around being comfortable all day, we're not going to grow. We aren't going to be stronger men. We have to go towards, you know, the hard things in life.
Yeah, I also think that there's a call for men to go inward. And I think that for the longest time, men were the ones exploring. They were the one conquering and kind of venturing out. And, you know, we really just hit the point in the last, I don't know, okay, what, you know, the last 30, 40 years where there's not anything left to really explore. There's no land really to conquer. And it's kind of what you're saying. There's nothing to really to fight for. And so what I've realized is that it's the next frontier, if you will, is kind of the home front. And at the core of the home front is like the man himself, right? And like going deep and deep and deep and healing all of those things that I would imagine in previous generations past, they never really had the time to unpack and heal. They were on to the next thing, on to the next famine or on to the next war, or, you know, toiling away in factories where, you know, you just, there's no time to be sitting there. Yeah. And thinking about your wound, your emotional wounds. But now we have all this time and those things are starting to bubble up, right? Mm-hmm. Like those things are starting to come up. And I think that I'm encouraged because I'm seeing more men's work and men's circles and things like that, that they're becoming, you know, more, I don't want to say mainstream, but more normal. But then you're also seeing what you're talking about with the OnlyFans and the, I mean, the porn addiction and the, I mean, you name it, right? Like we can go through all the vices.
Ease of access. Easy access now.
So it's really for men, I don't know if I would call it a need, but a calling to go inside, you know, to go internally because that is actually what allows us to perform better in the external world, right? I got into kind of business and entrepreneurship and that sort of world back in like 2009. And for the first really 10 years or so, it was all about adding on, layering on, growing. Let me get more, learn more, do better. And for the last, I don't know, probably about 3 years or so, it's really been about subtracting and about removing all of the bullshit that piled up over the years so that I can get to the essence of me or the essence of what I want or to actually start acting in the ways that I want to act, not in the ways that my mom wanted me to act or my wife wanted me to act or anybody else, society, right? To actually find like who I am. And I remember there was a moment where I like literally struggled with what there was two things that I was considering. And it was like, I don't know what I like. I don't know who is me. And I don't know, like the decision to people please and placate and remove my boundaries and all that sort of stuff was such the norm for me, was such the common sort of thing, that all of a sudden doing anything else really caused like an identity crisis for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, for me, what I try to get at, especially when it comes to us as men, is we got to focus on what we can control. And a lot of times we're trying to control so many other things that has nothing to do with us, right? It has anything to do with us, right? And it comes across as we're trying to control women, to tell them what to do and, you know, and to force them to go down a certain path. And it became a lot easier for me when I realized that if I just focused on, you know, what I can control, I'll start to attract what's right for me, right? Because I'm doing the work within myself to focus on what, you know, where I can improve on. What happened to me in the past, you know, why am I feeling this way? You know, what traumas have I not, you know, looked into? What are things that, you know, my childhood that, you know, that has not been healed properly, right? So when I started doing the actual work and putting in the efforts into what I can control, which is myself, I began to attract better, right? I began to move in a way that's going to attract not only the right woman who I have in my life right now, but also opportunities, right? The right people, the right friends, the right people around me. All due to me controlling myself and doing what I can do every single day to become a better man. On my page, I say this as 1% better every single day. Focus on this being 1% better every single day. Find an area in your life that you can tackle, and just focus on tackling this 1% daily. And it will compound into something, you know, something big after a year. You realize, how did I get here? You know, and you look back and you're like, it was just those daily wins every single day, looking to become a better man. And now I look back at myself and I'm like, wow, you know, there was a time where I didn't think I can even get a woman like this now, you know, and I have a woman like her now. And, you know, it's also a product of myself, a product of my leadership, a product of me leading myself and becoming a better man, where I can now look around and see, you know, the fruits of my labor.
Yeah, I'm curious. You mentioned some of the stuff that you mentioned on your page, and I remembering what was drawn to me. It was one of your reels, and it was just like, oh fuck, I'm doing everything wrong.
Pretty much.
It was something to the effect of like, this is what a woman wants, and like, this is what they're like actually wanting. And mm-hmm. maybe it was like, this is what most guys do. But something made me realize like, oh shit, like everything that they actually want, like mm-hmm. actually, not what they're saying that they want, but actually like what they actually crave and want. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm missing every single one. Yeah. So for you, are there big mistakes or big like fuck ups that you see guys going like, dude, you know, like you get that kind of, I don't know, irk you or piss you off or whatever?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, you know, and I guess the way I put this through is look at what look at a woman's actions, you know, her words. She's gonna tell you everything in her butt, because women, they operate off of their feelings in the moment, and however they feel in that moment, they're going to tell you how they feel in that moment. And it doesn't mean that it's always, you know, the right thing for them. They're just going based on a feeling they're feeling in that moment. So that's why as a man, you're trying to run around and trying to appease her when she's happy, when she's sad, when she's angry, when she's upset, and you're trying to solve all these problems, playing Mr. Fix-It, right? Or we call this one Mr. Save-A-Ho, right? So you're trying to solve all these problems. You're going based on her words. And you're not listening or watching for her actions and what she needs as a man. So it wasn't until I, you know, as a man, stopped listening solely to what she was saying, and I started to actually take a step back and started handling myself in a masculine manner in a way that's going to attract her to me. And she started to actually, you know, in a sense, behave in a way that was feminine. That was like, okay, I can. Rely on this man because he's a rock. He's sturdy. He is not trying to bend at my every which whim. He isn't trying to fix every single problem. Sometimes women, they just want to, you know, they want to talk. They want to voice how they feel in that moment. And that's why as men, sometimes you got to allow that. If she's upset, sometimes men, you try to fix it right away. Sometimes it's okay for her to be, you know, mad. Let her feel that emotion. women can, they can feel an array of emotions in a matter of, like, you know, in a matter of 10 minutes, they can feel, you know, ups and downs. And that's how they're biologically wired. But you as a man are trying to, you know, use your logical brain to try to, you know, listen to everything she's saying and trying to fix it right away. And you're also, and you're like almost like taking away the gift of the feminine from her when you're doing that, you know, allow her to feel her emotions. Things that she says isn't always what it is. Sometimes she's just talking her talk, let her talk. And then from there, you as a man, you remain calm, you remain stoic. And then from there, you look at her and you say, you know, all right, baby girl, you know, turn her around, twirl her around. She's mad, twirl her around and be like, hey, baby girl, you know what I mean? You hungry? You know, like, it's not like you're hungry right now, right? And you're so relaxed, you're so poised. You're not really taking on her emotions. You're not taking her too seriously, right? You aren't allowing her to dictate how you feel. Allow her to feel her emotions, right? She's entitled to her feelings. As long as her behavior is not disrespectful, that's all that I care about. As long as you're not being disrespectful to me, but you can actually, she's allowed to feel her feelings, right? She's a human being. Allow her to feel her feelings. But when it comes to, you know, the respect level of things, just make sure she's not moving in a way that's going to be disrespectful to you as a man.
I think that respect thing is kind of interesting, because I think men feel that. There's an intuitive sort of feeling to it that I don't know how to, that at least I haven't been able to articulate in a way that doesn't seem controlling or that doesn't seem, you know, misogynistic or whatever, right? When it's like, when we as men say that, like, we don't feel respected, a man's definition of respect and a woman's definition of respect, I think, are totally, totally different. So, like, when you think about, like, that definition, or, like, being, like, she's acting respectful, and you're, like, in your mind, what does that mean for you?
I love how you said the definition is a little different from the man to the woman. And the reason why is because I was actually looking at a study a couple of days ago, and it said that couples, when they have conflict, when they have arguments, they act, do you feel disrespected or do you feel unloved? And don't quote me directly, but I believe the stat was about 75% of women said that they feel unloved during, you know, conflict. And then 83% of men said that they feel disrespected during conflict. So with that being said, it made it very clear that, you know, women see respect, you know, and they want to be loved, right? They want to feel like they have this strong emotion of love for them. That's their respect, right? But as men, we go through hell and high water to try to make sure that we're doing our best to provide, to protect, and take care of our woman, and take care of our family, right? So when we feel that you're doing things that's almost like sidetracking away from my efforts as a man, and you're doing your own kind of thing, it comes across as disrespectful, like, you know, where it's like, okay, I thought I was, you know, doing my part, and you're coming and you're doing things. Your actions are showing, your words are showing that you don't really see me and see my efforts as a man and the things that I'm doing to actually provide and take care of this family. So as a man, when I say respect, for me, it's more that you're almost saying to me, I see you. I see the effort you're putting in. I may not understand fully to the extent, because I'm not a man, right? She can't fully understand everything that you do, what you go through, but she sees the effort that you're putting in. And she says, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you feel as though your efforts are being, you know, seen. It's being heard. And I'm grateful for what you're doing for this family.
Yeah, that's well articulated. And the study that you cited, I'm not really surprised by, but perhaps we're talking about the same thing. It's just felt and expressed in a different way. You know, it's just really interesting. But also maybe it's just that men and women kind of need and value different things. And that can be okay too.
Mm-hmm. And that's very much, and I think that's the beauty between a man and a woman and why we're different. You know, a lot of times, you know, in this day and age, you know, they try to say, you know, a man and a woman are equal. And I'm like, yeah, we're equal human as in human beings, but we are so different. And that's what makes us so beautiful, you know, as a different gender. I love women because of them of them being a woman, you know, that you aren't a man. You handle things differently. You view the world in a different sense. You feel things differently that a man does not feel, right? And in the same sense, as men, we go through things and we feel things that you can never understand, right? It's like, kind of, for me, it's kind of like this, you know, a woman can tell us all the details when it comes down to labor and pregnancy and the whole entire 9 months, right? And all the pain she has went through, the ups and downs. She can give us every single detail, but we will never as a man be able to truly understand what that feeling is, right? How does it really feel? We can never understand it, no matter how much detail she puts inside of it. And the same thing goes for us as men. When we give her different details about how we handle things as men, we can give her everything in the book, but she's never going to truly understand what it means to be a man, all right? It's an entire different world. And we have to be able to respect both sides and say, you're a woman and I appreciate and I value, you know, the things that you have, that you go through on a daily basis to be a woman, right? Because it's not easy to be a woman. And on the same side, as a man, we want the same kind of respect that you value, and you see that, you know, it cannot be easy being a man, right? And I may not understand you, you know, as a man, but I can value that you, the things that you do, the things that you go through, I appreciate you.
You mentioned like that you know, value a woman for being a woman. And I think that so many, and I've heard it echoed a lot, but that so many women want to be men. They want to be the man. And the challenge is that in that equation, okay, the woman steps up into that masculine role. Well, now there's no place for the man to be in that sort of relationship, because there is no place. And I also, I know, because I was one of them, that too many men are deferring that. They're deferring that and not asserting their own sort of value or asserting their own role. And partially because it's like, well, what can we provide if we're not the sole breadwinner? Like, well, what can we provide? If we're not this, then what do we have? And I think that this conversation kind of laid some of that out in terms of the security and protection is not just like physical or financial, but there's more to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, man. Off the bat, I'm gonna say just right here, real time, is every woman. I'm being bold right now, but I believe literally almost every woman, right? They want a man to provide and protect for them. I don't care how masculine you think you are, right? I don't care how much masculine energy you have. It's not biologically wired in you to actually want and desire to provide and protect for yourself. Right. You may come on social media and you may talk your talk and you may, you know, put a camera to your face and you may say, I don't need any man. Right. I'm happy by myself. But when you're at home by yourself at nighttime, when you're in your bed alone at nighttime, when you're seeing other couples, you know, who have a man and you're watching this from afar and you're getting older too as well, I know for a fact that you wish, you know, you had that man to kind of just, you know, say, you know what? Rest, take a break, baby girl. I'm handling it from here. I'll take over from this portion. Every woman would want that, right? Because that's naturally in them. Now, with that being said, there are women who are, you know, extremely masculine, and they almost like they enjoy competing with a man. And that can be in a physical sense, that could be in a financial sense, which is really the biggest one, right? They want to compete with men financially. They want to, you know, say they can out earn a man and they can make more than a man, which means that they're a man now, they're better than a man. All right. They want to compete with men on the financial world, but they aren't realizing that it takes a lot more to be a man than just his finances, right? It's a lot more factors than that. And once they have these finances, they realize that, okay, it's I have the money now, you know, but I'm still not able to have that satisfaction of a solid relationship, of a relationship of a man who's going to value me. And it's because we as men, we don't care, you know, about finances when it comes to a woman. That is not what we're looking for. We're looking for a woman who's going to be supportive of us, who is not competing with us, but who is complimenting us, right? Complimenting our masculine nature. if I have to compete with you for the spot of masculine, of my place as leader in a relationship, you got it. I'm not going to compete with you. I'm not looking to compete. I'm looking for what's going to complete the relationship. I can handle the masculine part, right? You can handle the feminine part. Let's come together and create a bond so strong that it's almost like unbreakable, because we are bringing two different energies to the table. And it doesn't mean that, you know, because I'm a man and because I'm masculine and because I have, you know, the leader role, that I'm a dictator, right? That is not where we're getting at, you know? The point of the matter is that I believe being a man and being a leader is harder, because you have so much responsibility on your shoulders. Wherever this relationship goes, I tell men, this is your fault. This is your problem. You have to figure out how to solve it, because they're going to come to you and they're going to say, how do we fix this? So being a leader and being the man is extremely hard, because everything comes down to your decisions. Every decision you make every single day is going to be held accountable for where things go. So I think it's a responsibility. A woman, on the other hand, you know, they have to find their place in learning how to be supportive, nurturing, and also a helpmate to this man and the vision that he has laid out for the family. So we have two different things. And if we're both trying to, you know, compete about who's the top dog, then, you know, we're not going to click. It's impossible.
Facts. Raph, this has been a great conversation. I got one more question for you. I'd love for you to share with the listeners where the best place to get connected with you, learn more about what you're doing.
Of course. So for me, the best place that I'm actively on is Instagram. My Instagram is spelled RAPH_YOUCALM. And that spells RAPH_UCALM. I'm also on TikTok. I'm also on YouTube as well. But my main push is to get off of these platforms, because these platforms are almost like censoring our mission as men. They're kind of silencing our mission. So my goal here is to have you guys get on a platform where you can speak about the topics you want to talk about and becoming a better man, and even have a safe place for yourself. So for that, I have my free community as well. And it's under the platform of school. You can type in the calm lion's path. And it's a free community for men to be able to just, you know, get the answers that they're looking for when it comes to relationships with a woman. But also, more importantly, for you to have a place to just have a safe haven for yourself to speak about, you know, whatever comes to your mind when it comes to a man and the stress of, you know, running and leading a relationship.
Yeah. Great stuff here. Guys, I'd encourage you to go get connected with Raph on Instagram. He puts out some great stuff. Raph, at this point in your life, you know, in your opinion, what's your definition of modern masculinity?
That's a great question, brother. Modern masculinity. It's funny that you say that, because I still view and believe that the traditional ways are going to be the strongest ways, but I'm also smart enough and wise enough to realize that times are changing, right? And times have, you know, are different, and we have to learn how to adapt to where we are, but still not lose the traditional values that has kept, you know, a man and woman together for years upon years. The divorce rate is higher. You know, men are, you know, we are staying single. Women are not wanting a man. So for me, when it comes to modern masculinity, is a man who's going to be able to first understand just these three things. Number one is God is first. That's my thing. And that's what I'm going to let every guy know, God first. If you don't have somebody higher or above you in your life, you're going to feel like you're alone. And there has to be somebody that's able to guide you through the tough times, when you're by yourself, when you're in quiet times, right? Then after that is your mission. So a man you have to have your mission, your purpose in life. If you don't have your purpose and your mission in life, what are we really doing here? You know, how can a woman even follow you if you don't even know where you're going? So what is your mission? What is your purpose? What are we doing? What's the vision we have for your life? And then lastly, then you have the support of a virtuous woman after that. And that will be your third tier. So again, for me, God, mission, woman is so simple. And I tell a lot of guys is, if somehow you feel like you're off, go back to that simple three tier order. God, mission, woman. Something is out of line. check your life, figure out what is out of line. Is your woman ahead of everything else? Is she above God? Is she above your mission? Is your mission above everything else? Are you only working alone and forgetting everything else? Something is out of line. Go back to that order, figure it out. And then from there, you'll have, you know, a very simple but decent life too as well.
Yeah. Love that. Fellas, thanks for sticking with us today. We appreciate you being here. We'd love and appreciate a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know a guy that needs to hear this, hit that share button. Send him a message. Let him know you were thinking about him. And as always, thanks for being part of the tribe. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.